One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow. Roll with the punches. Thing I know.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're coming at you from Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. A great show for you tonight. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, Guinness, and now Chicago Firefighters Local 2. They exactly what they're doing. We had a great guest tonight. Let's get right into it. John Catanzara. He is a 25-year veteran of the CPD. He is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 7. And he's a very controversial and interesting character in Chicago. We're city in crisis, right? That's what it's all about.
You could add the state to that too now, Mike.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. You went to St. Rita from St. Renee's Parish. We're going to give a shout-out to your son, Adam, who just turns 30, next week?
Coming up.
Okay. All right, Adam, happy birthday. So, we're in the middle of what could be a long, hot summer. What's your take? I know you just did a no-confidence vote. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I didn't do it. I just facilitated the vote.
Okay.
You know, the vote was a long time coming. I mean, I see my good buddy over there, retired Captain Terry McMahon.
Yeah,
Terry, I mean, these no confidence votes are nothing new.
He's the mayor of Mount Greenwood.
I believe it.
Yeah.
These no confidence votes are nothing new, realistically, with the FOP. They've never included the mayor along with the superintendent at the same time. So that was something new. But it's been building. You know, we even had requests at last year when I first took office for this, and I said it wasn't the right time.
Right.
It just felt like the right time to address that topic with yet another set of cancellations and extension of tours for no rhyme or reason other than just because the politicians refuse to hold other politicians accountable for failure in their duties.
You know, it's even hampered us with getting guests because the police say, I can't do it. I don't get any days off. We're working 12-hour shifts. It's nuts. You know, and it's like,
trust me, we've had a couple functions. I was looking for police and even some board members to go to, and nobody was willing to commit because we didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what changed in the last 5 days other than maybe a voice of reason that is now in the mayor's inner circle. And I can only assume that the addition of John O'Malley as the deputy mayor of public safety has maybe put a bug in her ear about what makes sense, because shortly after he was named in that position is when the department decided now they had to pretend that they care. And I stress pretend, because they were doing outdoor roll calls all weekend. It took me 5 different tries to catch up with the mayor.
I saw your live on Facebook.
So
I where was that?
That was at 51st and Justine, actually 4 blocks from where I was born at 51st and Aberdeen.
Okay.
A long time ago. And it was pretty fun talking to the locals. They were having a good old time and with some libations. But, you know, I didn't want to interrupt the ceremony, so to speak, because it was recognizing some hard work of officers and life-saving awards and stuff like that. But at the end, I made it very well clear. The mayor is not going to get to hijack the narrative that she gives a damn, because she just doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's too late to try and repair that, you know, perception at this point. And for that matter, the superintendent, too. You know,
David Brown, right? Is that his name?
Agreed. You know, we've had an understanding for a long time that we'd bring grievances to each other if we had issues, and I brought them, and nothing gets resolved.
Yeah.
The fact that they are willing to subject our members to sacrificing their personal lives, their family lives, and just their own mental health, and the constant, we literally had an officer, and I'm not going to say his name, but he came at that same meeting that we had the vote of no confidence, and he came to the microphone during the open session and read a 2-page prepared statement, and he almost broke down talking about the effects that last year's riot schedule, yeah. and now again, here we are again, to the point where he was sleeping on the couch because he didn't want to wake up his wife when he got home because he was working 14 hours a day. And then his kids never saw him. Yeah. They literally were like almost looking at him like he was a stranger, and how emotionally affected he was by that, you know, dynamic. And it just was tragic and hard to listen to, but that was the impetus for that vote, realistically.
Yeah.
You know, I said this is something that's been brought up before. You guys all want to make a motion, feel free. And the motion came forward for all three of them because it's very well known.
There's a deputy chief as well, right?
First Deputy Carter.
Yeah.
Everybody believes, and there's no reason to think otherwise, that Eric Carter is running the police department. He is calling balls and strikes, and the superintendent's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Because
superintendent's not from Chicago originally anyway, right?
He is not. Yeah. He is a Texas man.
Yeah. Is Eric Carter from Chicago?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Hopefully not for long. That'd be nice.
And
that isn't just John Catanzara talking again. You know, the mayor likes to pin all of these little edicts on me. Like, this is me talking. I'm speaking for my members, 18,000 strong, active retired officers who had enough of being treated like second-class citizens. You know, I was just
talking. The FOP is retired and active.
Correct.
Oh, that's a lot, 18,000 people.
Correct. Yeah. Well, there's a little over 10,000 active. But,
yeah.
you know, you had the retirees in the mix. And, again, it's probably even more than that. We have more retirees coming back to the Lodge than ever before.
Sure.
We have even sergeants who didn't re-up in Lodge 7 and went to the sergeants union who now are coming back and also becoming a member in Lodge 7 and re-upping the membership because they like the voice that's finally out there pushing back. And to that credit, it has, you know, gotten the Sergeants Association more vocal than ever before, which everybody's happy with. You know, the symbiotic relationship between Lodge 7, the sergeants and lieutenants going forward has been amazing, to say the least. And I'll give you a quick example of how that happened. So the department decided they were going to cancel the St. Jude's parade.
Yeah.
And they used COVID as an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, I said.
And it was almost over at that
point. This was the other reason why this vote of no confidence occurred. So it was very clear last year that we had three COVID deaths in the weeks prior in, you know, April, right before the normal St. Jude parade.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of understood there was
something.
Which
is what, the middle of May, something like that?
It was usually the first Sunday in May.
Okay.
So everybody kind of understood there was something different going on. It wasn't the right time to have that parade.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You know, we lost one more officer, Titus Moore, later in the year, but it seems that we have gotten a handle on COVID, so to speak. There was no reason to cancel this parade other than they just didn't want to do it.
They want to deal with it.
But the fact is, the parade is not for the men and women of the police department that are working. It's for the families and the fallen.
Right.
And it's the Gold Star families who have to pay the ultimate sacrifice, and those officers who are tragically have their name engraved on a wall that we march for. We're just the conduit to that. It's them, and that's what the department doesn't get. And I don't know why they don't get it, but I could tell you the conversation I had with Superintendent Brown, and I have this weird habit of like having video player in my head, knowing exactly where I was when I have these conversations. But I'm in the car, and he's telling me, I don't know the traditions of the Chicago Police Department. I just got
him. He's telling you this? Well, he
was telling me this. Yeah. So he was talking about last year, why the parade got canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
So he goes, you know, this year, you know, COVID, I said, stop at the COVID. I'm going to explain to you Chicago police traditions. And I explained to him the tradition of the St. Jude March, the significance of it, where it used to be down, you know, downtown. Then he moved it to the wall and so on. And he goes, okay, fine. I'll, you know, get Deputy Carter to get in touch with you. He did call me within a couple hours. We had a conversation and I told him what we wanted to do. And I told him, you know, we're doing this with or without your cooperation. It makes it easier if you're cooperating. It makes it more of a production if you're involved. It makes everything easier and better if the department is involved. But the choice is yours. So he told me he'd get back to me. He didn't for a day and a half. I took that as a big middle finger. So, okay, great. You're done. So we went on and we did it ourselves with the cooperation of Shelly Perez, Ben Perez's widow, who is the president of the Gold Star families.
You did it over there on the lakefront? Is that where it is?
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, there was some talks about other places to do it. We didn't know if we should do it in the same location, but we knew we were doing the parade. I actually wanted to do it down Wacker Drive along the river from, like, Michigan Avenue all the way down or along Wacker. But we decided to do it at that location just for parking. McCormick Place had helped facilitate parking for members, which was going to be the biggest concern. But it was pretty disheartening to think that this department just – doesn't get what really matters to the men and women that are literally laying their life on the line and ultimately giving that sacrifice sometimes. I can't explain why for the life of me, but all I know is between the 12-hour days, the days off cancellations, and the fact that that parade was ignored for the second year for no good reason other than sheer laziness. I mean, it doesn't take much to make it happen. They could have literally snapped their fingers and in 12 hours had everything arranged, but they just refused to do it. That led to the vote on the floor. And I could tell you that vote was 100% unanimous. There wasn't a single person who even was like, everybody was very loud and emphatic, yes. This wasn't John Catanzaro. This was the men and women of Chicago Police Department who said, enough.
And you guys filed a grievance about that today too, right?
Well, we filed,
not about the parade, but
about the cancellations of RDOs and the violation of the contract. So we had filed our grievance on Friday last week. The sergeants and lieutenants had filed a piggyback one today too, because it is a violation. You know, the contract calls for a declaration of an emergency. There is no emergency.
Yeah, might happen.
Right. I mean, we knew last year. Everybody could see it was an emergency. The city was burning. Yeah. It's our job to help try and quell that. Regardless if people are saying we're the reason for it, who gives a damn? But, you know, last year was everybody got it. This year there was no rhyme or reason. The superintendent was very clear. This is just because of the anniversary of George Floyd's death, and we don't know what's going to happen. That's not good enough. You know, and now here we got Father's Day coming up again. Yeah. And Juneteenth. Now they're talking about maybe again for that weekend because we don't know. We don't know isn't good enough. Fathers don't deserve to be with their children on Father's Day if they have the day off. I guess not.
And the whole thing is predicated on what might happen, but nothing did happen.
Correct.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I was at a barbecue at Holman Square on Monday, and I got a tour of a lot of the facilities and stuff. And, you know, of course, there was so much manpower that people barbecue. That's what they do for everybody there.
Sure.
So speaking to some of the people in the crime lab, specifically with the weapons, you know, we recover over 10,000 guns a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mind-boggling number. It is more than L.A. and New York combined every year, 12 years running, if I'm not mistaken. So what's the problem here? You know, the mayor talks about guns, guns, guns. Guns are only a fraction of the problem. The problem is the people with the guns. You know, we talk about the police shoot unarmed black people or brown people or whatever the case may be. It's a fallacy. It's a false narrative. Because if you're recovering 10,000-plus guns, it's safe to say that 7,000 or more of those are actually coming with arrests or offenders involved. They aren't getting shot. So why are we're not just shooting armed offenders. People don't comply. That is the recurring issue with every single one of these shootings, a failure to comply with a lawful order. But the guns specifically, you can take 50,000 guns off the street if you're not going to take the person with the gun off the street for an extended period of time or a long period of time. It's just going to be a recurring theme where they come out, grab another gun, and keep doing what they've been doing all along. And until the superintendent decides he wants to become political and start saying the names that he almost said at a press conference, I don't know, 8 months ago, before the mayor cut him off and chastised the media for, you know, getting him there, this doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop.
She's like on a mission to self-destruct. With the whole thing with the no white interviewers and all that stuff, it's like, it just gets worse and worse and worse with her.
You could have beat that. You could have just said, I identify as black or brown. You've been good.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's nuts. And the stuff just keeps on coming.
You know, WGN just released a poll. The mayor has a 48% approval rating right now. That's pretty, you know, that's actually, I'm surprised it's that high, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But the satisfaction with the Chicago Police Department is at 60.4.
That's great.
We're higher than the mayor. So who's the problem in the city?
Yeah.
It's not the police.
Yeah.
You know, I was fortunate enough a week and a half ago through Dr. Willie Wilson to speak to 800 ministers House of Hope on the South Side.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were there for a launch of their new corporation. So he had reached out to myself and the Illinois State President, Chris Southwood,
joined me.
And we got to just address everybody in there about what we do as officers, as the FOP, and what we want to do, and our take on their communities that are probably the most affected.
Sure.
Whether it's Chicago, Cook County, or even, you know, there was ministers from Decatur, East St. Louis, et cetera. But, you know, I could tell you, over 800 ministers were in that room. Not a single one of them, I think, left with a bad, you know, I even had plenty who came over and said, you're not the guy I saw on the news.
Oh, that's good.
And so they get it.
Yeah.
But they could try and vilify us all they want. I said the police are not the problem. The police are the solution, and the pastors can be the conduit to make it happen, because it's their congregations, more times than not, who are hostages in their own house, in their own neighborhoods, where their kids are stuck on the porch because they can't go anywhere. It's not the people going to church, more times than not, that are committing the crimes. Yeah. It's the ones that aren't going to church.
You know, the other thing that drives me nuts now, the media, I tried to find a legit bio on you online. It's like, this guy's the devil from all these news outlets. There's not one, even the FOP should have a bio of you, but there's nothing. And it's like, what the heck is, I mean, it's got, how do you get up in the morning? I can't believe how you deal with this crap. It's like, ah.
I don't want to harp on Terry, but Terry, I've known Terry since I got on the job. He was he was in the 8th District as a sergeant when I got on the job in 95. And I can tell you, I've been doing this my whole career. For better or for worse, I just always opened my mouth when I saw something wrong. And it doesn't go well in the police department. They don't like to be challenged when they're wrong. I was basically getting patrolman's pay to do what I do now, and nobody, it was like talking to a brick wall, because I didn't have any microphone. I didn't have a platform. Now I have a microphone. Now I have a platform. I have less stress in my life than I've ever had. I mean, it's true. I have an outlet, and I have a purpose, and I think the troops get it. And I can't tell you how many times, even that roll call where the mayor was at, that I crashed. After the mayor and the superintendent got in their cars and left, every single one of those cops came over and said, thank you for doing that.
Saw some of them on tape.
I know we're on the right track, and I'm going to keep doing what I do, and I don't need a bio. I don't even need recognition. I just want fairness for the men and women of the Chicago Police Department.
But you got to get the real story out there. It's like, come on. You know, it's so frustrating. Just for me, I you know, want to learn more about you, and it's like, that's not allowed, and he's the devil and all this stuff. It's like, this is nuts.
Well, maybe it'll take, you know, a new election and a new mayor to make that happen, you know.
That's two years away.
Maybe Alderman Lopez runs for mayor.
Yeah.
Maybe he names me superintendent. We solve all the world's problems.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But that's 2 years away. There's no way they can impeach her or anything, is there?
No, but, you know, those
has that ever been done?
Here. So
in Chicago?
The mayor just released a page on the city's website talking about the contract, the almost four-year expired contract. Correct.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely an attempt to try and get members to look, oh, my God, they're telling me that I would get almost $35,000 in back pay, but John Catanzaro is the problem. He's the reason. Again, it's a game play. It's so far from the truth, it's not even funny. That's all she knows how to do is be deceptive and lie. The negotiations to this point have been very simple. Here's our offer. Okay, well, here's ours. Okay, great. Sign ours. Well, let's talk about ours. Okay, well, we'll listen to yours, but sign ours. I mean, it really is take it or leave it. That's all it's ever been. And again, we came in with the mindset that we were trying to negotiate. There was nothing done previously, but we were trying to negotiate. And
who negotiates for her?
Jim Franzik's the lead labor attorney for the city, contracts for that. He's been doing it an awful long time. He's been on contract books forever. You know, here's more of the good old city politics. So the mayor had a labor attorney that worked for the city, Mike Frisch. Mike was a city employee. He was overseeing all the contracts for the mayor and basically reporting back to her.
All the labor contracts, everything?
Well, yes, the police, the fire, streets and sands and all that. And he would report back to her on what's going on in labor contracts. Well, he decided he was going to private practice 2 months ago. Well, about 6 weeks ago. Guess what? Now they have a contract with his employer to hire him to come back and still keep doing the same work.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the more the games, yeah. the faces yeah. change, the games stay the same. It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
But that's just the dynamic we're under. And then, you know, you have the commander of management and labor affairs, Donna Rowling, who, you know, I have a great working relationship with Commander Rowling. And I've made no bones about it. If they gave Commander Rowling the authority to negotiate the contract in full, we'd have it done in a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's that simple that we have come to agreement on stuff, figured out, and it's done. But the problem with the negotiations the way they are now is, one, the mayor never shows up, never gets involved. She can't wait to jump at a teacher's contract to get involved to avoid a strike because she doesn't want that egg on her face. But when it comes to the police, she can say whatever she wants at roll call. She despises us, I mean, even more than Daley or Rahm.
Didn't she come from COPA? Is that what that is?
Yep. Well, she was actually at OPSB even before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just
and she was the head president of the police board.
Okay.
Where she, you know, took emphatic glory in firing officers.
Everything's racist. It's nuts.
It's true.
How can anything be racist when everything is racist? It's
if I had a dollar every time she called me racist, we wouldn't need back pay.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. So, and you just keep plugging away.
I mean, the reality is this department and the mayor, through Deputy Carter, just keeps reinventing policy after policy after policy, even if it's in violation of contract.
To make it tougher to be
contract. They don't care. They just do whatever they want to do and let the chips fall where they may and fight the fight. And it just it makes negotiating a contract even harder when you're looking at A through Z, and then all of a sudden now they're coming up with six more things that weren't even in the proposal that now you have to fight that because they're violating the contract that's in place now.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I don't know where this all ends up. It's unfortunately looking like it's getting closer and closer to an arbitration than I ever wanted it to be, because I really wanted to negotiate a contract, a fair one. You know, we're not asking for the pie in the sky. You know, most times when you negotiate, you come in with a ridiculously high number.
Sure.
They come in with a ridiculously low number, and you're trying to meet in the middle. We didn't do that. I came up with a fair number.
Yeah.
You know, we're literally looking at a seven-year contract for 20.5%. We're already 4 years back anyway. So this is a three-year
four years forward. Without a contract.
4 years without. So that's off the table anyway. Yeah. 3 years going forward. 20% for 7 years. I don't think that's asking. That's less than 3% a year. I think that's more than fair. But, again, and we have literally made offers that the FOP has never entertained before, be it a tier three pension possibility, a fitness standard like the state police have for the length of a career for an officer. Again, these are things that you would think they would jump on. But it's not enough. They literally are just saying, well, thank you, but just sign that first.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been from day one.
And also, it's a mindset of defund the police and all this other cockamamie stuff.
Except for Wrightwood and Kimball. Don't defund that block. That needs all the police it can get.
What's at Wrightwood and Kimball?
Is that where she lives? Palace.
Oh, yeah. Is that where she lives?
It's a moat of police officers.
Okay. Oh, is it? They're all out there. Yeah. Unbelievable. Wrightwood and Kimball. Remind me to stay away from that area. There was a rumor.
No, don't stay away. Go there. Everybody go there.
Yeah, go there.
The police don't mind.
There was a rumor at one time. One of my cop buddies called me and said, she's moving to the Basilica.
Saginaw.
Yeah, Queen of All Saints. Yeah. I said, where'd you get that? I don't know, but that's going to happen. You got to give it to Cass. I went, wait a minute. Where are you getting this?
You want to know a funny backstory to that?
Yeah.
So that, I don't know even how much traction it was realistic from the beginning, but I do know it maintained momentum because the commander in that district was forced to do a threat assessment on that property and try and diagram what he would do, where people would go and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept perpetuating just to mess with him, to make him keep going out there and have a headache. And I don't really care for that commander. he's one of the people who filed charges against me at the police board, so couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And actually, he's the guy who had the case report deleted that I generated against Eddie Johnson when he marched on the expressway. And he had it deleted from a computer system, yet he's still been the commander in this police department for over 3 years since that happened. But I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
You literally let someone commit a felony, official misconduct, and he's still in command. But again, rules for thee, rules for me.
There's a lot of that going around, pal.
It's always been the game.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
faces are the only thing that change.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing we can do until election day then. Is that what you're basically just got to keep?
Well, I mean, again, there's some very minute, possibilities where she could be, you know, expelled from the city council for egregious behavior.
That's
which,
not going to happen.
Well, I mean, there certainly was a lot of momentum about 2 months ago for that to be a possibility.
Oh, yeah?
Unfortunately, those, I guess, didn't quite pan out and petered away.
Oh. A rebellion was quelled.
Well, yeah. Again, there was
I'd
a lot
like
of people.
I'd like to see some more of that.
Yeah. There was a lot of people wishing those rumors were true.
Yeah. Well, she's just crazy.
Including some aldermen.
Yeah. Okay.
Who smelled blood.
Oh, yeah. Well, is there a vice mayor?
There is.
There used to,
so if her term is under 28 months, the deputy mayor gets to continue the term. If there's a term, if there's more than 28 months left in the term, they would have to have an election. Since we're under there, it would have been Tunney would have finished the term if she goes out.
Tom Tunney, yeah.
Yeah. you know, the guy who opened up his restaurant during COVID.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's from this neighborhood. But it's what?
I'm sorry. Did I say?
He has a restaurant.
It's the Northside guy.
It's on Belmont Avenue.
Yes.
Ann Sathers.
Yeah.
I know the guy. Yeah. But he grew up out here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then
he
ditched you guys for the Northside.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you can have, the Northside can have him.
But again, speaking of the alderman, and
Tunney
and the rest of them, and that even includes, you know, Alderman Lopez to a degree. What my problem with the city council has been from day one, the police have to have days off canceled, 12-hour days. So what does that tell you? There's not enough manpower, according to them. They need more manpower.
Yeah.
The superintendent's out at these roll calls saying, you are your brother's and sister's keeper. You need to work so they don't have to have all the pressure on them. So all you need to be tired and miserable. But yet these are the same knuckleheads who just cut 640 jobs from the mayor's budget last year voted to say, okay.
Yeah.
So which is it? You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
But the aldermen specifically, that budget had $100 million allocated for police back pay. They paid the fire department, Local 2, $96 million in back pay.
Now, be careful, because they're sponsors.
That's fine. I'm not knocking them. No, I mean, they had the money. They had the money coming. I'm making a point, though.
Okay.
We have three times the membership that Local 2 does.
Yeah.
And we have an extra year. They had three. We got four.
Yeah.
So numbers, simple numbers tell you our back pay is going to be, even if we took their, you know, their salary schedule and percentage that the city's offering, they're going to have to come up with $450 million. But yet that budget only had $100 million. Where's the other $350? Not a single alderman said, what are we doing here? You're not even counting for the police back pay here.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Washington, D.C. came to the rescue, threw $1.9 billion at you. You have no better opportunity
to give
in that bailout money to settle the back pay and get it done. But yet here we are still fighting over scraps.
Yeah. So that could still happen, right?
What?
Get some of that money from
the feds. Well, let's hope
so,
because, you know, the way this city operates,
that money will not
beat her at the end of the year. You guarantee that.
Yeah.
So, but the aldermen, this falls on their doorstep, including the 19th Ward and everybody else who claim they are pro-police aldermen. They need to step up and start saying, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
This needs to be settled sooner rather than later. Enough is enough. But nobody is challenging her publicly. I don't know, maybe
you're right.
Maybe
except
privately,
for you.
But that's their job.
Yeah.
They have an obligation to their constituents in their wards and the city as a whole to get this done, and none of them are making it happen.
There's also nobody in the media challenging her. It's crazy.
Well, there's a couple, but again,
John Cass. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple more. I don't want to name anybody because then they'll be categorized as FOP friendly, and they'll be list. I don't want to say blacklisted because everything's color schemed.
It's crazy. But you know what? Something's got to give. I mean, we're going into the summer. It could be one of these shootings or something is going to turn into a tinderbox, and there's going to be riots, and everything's going to just go nuts. And I'm not looking forward to that happening, I got to tell you. Or nobody. We have plenty of time.
So
tell me.
Here, I'll give you another, and this isn't like sharing inside private conversations. So the superintendent and me are having a conversation, and he's trying to convince me about this 12-hour work schedule, canceled days off, et cetera. And he says, what would you do if you were superintendent?
Yeah.
I said, I could tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't be canceling days off.
Yeah.
The work product you are going to get from a pissed off work crew, and that's all you're doing, is aggravating them even more. You're literally shredding any morale that's left and then just dancing on top of the shreds. But that's number one. I said, but if you think that this is some new invention you're coming up with, it's not. These have been tried year after year after year, and it has no effect. If you don't think some piece of crap is going to shoot somebody at the other end of the block just because there's two detectives in a marked squad car with the lights on at the other end of the block, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No.
They'll do it right in front of the police.
Yeah.
If they're willing to shoot the police, why the hell are they not going to shoot somebody right in front of the police? So, again, and then he tried convincing me that the crime is going in the right direction, stats-wise. I said, I don't know what stats you're looking at. Maybe 1942?
Yeah.
But realistically, the numbers, I said, from what I see, the stats for shootings are up 36%. The stats for homicides are up 22% from 21 to 20. And 20 was a major increase over 19.
Yeah.
So we're way ahead of even where we were at 2 years ago. Where does this stop? So he says, well, you know, I'll give you that the stats, the numbers are higher. I mean, this is the logic we're working with here. The numbers are higher for this January over last January, this February over last February, this March over last March. April's a wash. May, we're showing a decline. I said, so three of the last 4.5 months, we've had an increase, but yet you're trying to convince me the numbers are going in the right direction. How is that even logical?
Yeah.
You know, Mother Nature gave them the greatest gift over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
This is how, this is what they call a logical deployment. They had four narcotics teams, full narcotics teams, 10, 12 people who should be out doing narcotics investigations and enforcement. Friday night on the lakefront, 12-foot surf, 46-degree drizzle, like there was going to be some violent beach party on North Avenue Beach and Oak Street Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stupid what they do.
Yeah.
And nobody ever...
And they're all there?
And nobody ever thought, you know what? Hey, maybe we could put them somewhere else all night. They left them there all night.
Yeah.
That's what's running this department right now.
Yeah.
But that's been a problem with the merit promotions for the last 10 years. And the people who are getting promoted, listen, I'll be the first...
Those are all clout-oriented, right?
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
But... This friends and family scheme, I mean, that's one of the probably best decisions that Charlie Beck ever had in his short tenure here, was to stop merit promotions. But I hate to get into the racial component, but here's the simple reality. They're giving a part two of the sergeant's test coming up next week, and it's over 5 days. We don't think that that's fair. You know, how can you have five different tests over the same day and create the same fairness from day one to day five? However, they have a current list for sergeants. They have a current list for lieutenants. We have the list for patrolmen who are going to be sergeants. We know who's next in line. So we mark them off as they get promoted. The reality is they need sergeants more than ever, and they refuse to promote off the list they have now. They want to do this new list because the list they have left now with no merit or options.
There's too many white guys on it, right?
Exactly. It is 71%. 71 of the next 100 sergeants would be white.
We don't want that.
64 of the next sergeants or two lieutenants would be white.
Yeah.
It does not meet their demographic gear. That's just the reality of this.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, but again, it might be 71 out of 100 white officers going to be sergeants, but what about the 29 minorities that would get promoted?
Yeah.
F them. They get screwed.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Because it's all about an agenda. And, and that is one person and one person alone. And I've said it from day one. It's Eric Carter. And I could care less what ramifications come from them. He is running this department into the ground, shattering morale. I mean, thank God.
Trying to achieve diversity at all costs.
I guess you have to look for the rain. You know, as Fred Waller in his infamous press conference said, you can put syrup on a pile of crap, but that doesn't make it pancakes. it's just true. I don't know what this department looks like when he's done, but it's absolutely... It's speeding toward a cliff.
And even if he did leave, they won't bring a guy in from Chicago. They'd probably bring some other out-of-town black guy. You know?
Well, like I said, I hope O'Malley kind of brings some logic to this process a little bit more because he does have ATF experience, law enforcement, and he's been around. So he does have a little more law enforcement mindset.
Yeah.
I hope that that makes a difference. I got to think that that might be something that's urging the mayor to be more caring.
Yeah.
And I stress that. I mean, even if it's token, I mean, it's better than, you know, calling us the devil, which is pretty much what she's did for the first 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So she literally had the nerve at that roll call to talk about people who vilify the police. I mean, you don't know how bad I had to bite my tongue at that point and not interrupt the whole procession.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just mind. I don't know who's giving her advice, but clearly the ones that give her the advice she doesn't like, she fires or forces them to resign because she's lost half her staff.
Oh, I know somebody. So I'll tell you about that.
Who wants to work for a tyrant?
Yeah, yeah. A pygmy tyrant, I might add. I can say that because I'm not. Okay.
I can say it too, but I won't.
My dates are here, so we're going to have to take the show down now. Anyway, John, thank you so much. Listen, any final information you want to get out? I mean,
Mike, I got all night, man.
I know. We got to do the obituary still. But don't leave. Any final, throw down the gauntlet, whatever you want
to
say.
I mean, there's no gauntlet to throw down. I've pretty much said the facts I want to say. I will just say to the men and women of the police department, we couldn't be prouder of the work you do. Even in light of a mayor and a department who don't appreciate what you do, you still go out there, you still chase the bad guys, and you still try and make this city a better place for the majority of the people who give a damn. And just know that silent majority is becoming more woke every damn day, and the pendulum will come back. And we're going to make sure we not only let it swing, we're going to push it back past where it started.
Good. Speaking of woke, yeah, there we go. Well, you know, this show is all about honoring the bravery and the nobility of our Irish first responders. So we have a great time meeting all the police officers and you and everybody on the show.
You should get retired guy Frank Quinn to get on your radio show.
I'm going to write his name down right now, Frank Quinn.
He'd have a lot to say. He's very outspoken.
Well, you know what? Lately, first of all, because of the no days off and you know, 12-hour days and all that stuff, we can't, and a lot of the active duty cops are spooked.
Well, there's retaliation.
Not the right expression. But
there's absolutely retaliation issues. You know, I just messaged some guy today, specific to that grievance and arbitration. Would he be willing to testify? Because he was explaining to me how, I mean, this is the stuff they don't think about. You're telling people originally you're going to be working these canceled days off, 12-hour days, till June 7th. Okay, you got kids. You have to account for that. So he goes and arranges child care for his kids through June 7th. Now you say, well, you don't need it through June 7th. June 1st, you're good. Well, now he's obligated. Now he's out of $600 out of his pocket for that child care he arranged that he doesn't need.
Yeah.
They're going to give him $600 back? No.
Of course
not. So, again, he's willing to testify, but his first question to me was, do I have to worry about retaliation?
Yeah.
I said, I can't promise you no.
Yes,
I wish I could, but we all know how petty this department can be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm facing a police board firing because I speak out.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
It ain't my first rodeo, and I'm not going to stop doing what I do, but I get why the average officer refuses to go that far, even though they all feel, and that's where I love what I get to do, because I get to voice the frustration of every person who puts on a gun belt today.
Good for you, yeah. They're scared. They don't want to lose their job.
I get it.
That's what they elected you for.
But I was fortunate. I could go back and drive a truck any day. I never needed this job. I wanted it. I enjoyed it, but if I would have left 10 years ago and go drive a truck for the rest of my life, I'd have been perfectly fine with that. They were never going to shut me up. My son was grown. It wasn't something I had to worry about.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here. Okay. Come back.
Anytime.
Let's keep an eye on what's going on. Maybe in the middle of the summer you come back. I don't know what's going to, but nobody knows what's going to happen.
Well, it's like marshmallows for the city when it's burning.
Yeah, exactly.
Make some s'mores.
All right, John. God bless you, pal.
Thanks, bro.
Hang in there. All right, we're going to take a little break on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The cork and carry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the cork and carry and get some. The Cork and Carry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Carry.
In 2019, Hibernian Media switched their radio focus to our Irish first responders, our cops, firefighters, and paramedics who epitomize the modern-day equivalent of our mythological Irish warriors, fighting in a war that never ends and risking their lives every day to protect our families. We've met many warriors from the ranks of our Chicago Fire Department since then, and they have told tales both heroic and amusing. We are in awe of their nobility, bravery, and grace under pressure. That's why we are particularly honored that the Chicago Firefighters Union Local 2 has joined this show as our sponsor going forward. Chicago Firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
And we are back. Hey, our thanks to John Kentonzara, president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 7. Always an interesting and entertaining guest. Okay, I want to remind everybody, first of all, something I get off my chest. I had John on my Facebook page promoting this event and getting a lot of action, a lot of people saying, yeah, this is great, and liked it, and liked it, and liked it. But there's always a couple of little twerps who want to push my button, you know. And there's one guy in particular, not a, one of these fake name guys, Richie Vegas. And he goes, I hope you have done your research, and the last interview was terrible. And it's like, hey, you schmuck. I'm not Chris Wallace here to interrogate people. I'm here to promote what they're doing, okay? So don't, it's like you didn't pay to hear this show. So if you have a problem, come on down here and meet me in person. I'd love to meet you in person, Richie Vegas, you little twerp. Let me get that off my chest. Okay, so we're having a big party. Hey, maybe, Richie, you'd like to go to our party next Wednesday night, June 9th. We're going to have a night. We're doing a film, In Search of Weeping Jim. It's the story of a 13-year-old kid who came here from County Mayo in 1884, James Ambrose Kearns. He went on to become Chicago alderman, and he was the first guy to introduce the legislation that Chicago should have its own flag. So we call him the father of the Chicago flag, and because of that, we're claiming the Chicago flag for Irish America. And our friend Liam Durkin, we're doing this film all about his life. The film will be out. We're going to premiere it in September, hopefully at the Cisco Film Center. But we're almost finished with it, and we wanted to encourage everybody to come on down and listen to Liam's song, The Legend, Weeping Jim. He's going to sing it next Wednesday night, June 9th, 7 o'clock. We got Liam Durkin singing. Jimmy Clunan and his brother Coleman will also be here doing some music. We've got free Paddy's Irish whiskey to raffle off, the greatest whiskey of all. And we got a lot of it. And they also have a dozen Chicago flags to raffle off. So it's going to be a great night, the great summer night here, Cork and Carry, Wednesday, June 9th at 7 p.m. We'll also have some surprise guests. We'll have some great music. We got some whiskey. Please join us, especially you, Richie Fagan, or whatever. What's Vegas. Vegas, you little worm. You know what's funny? That's the kind of person I am. I'll look at my email report, and 800 people open the email, but one unsubscribed. And I go, who is that? I go after and find them. That's the one I want to get. Anyway, so join us next week. Claim the Chicago flag for Irish America. Celebrate with Hooley on the Hibernian Radio Show in search of Weeping Jim. Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, Wednesday, June 9th, 7 p.m. Liam Durkin and Jimmy Clunan and friends. Free Paddy's Irish Whiskey and free Chicago flags, a dozen of them. All right, now, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, or any of the great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist, and he says to me, hey, Wooly, who died? Robert John Stevens, Jr., 92. Bob is survived by his loving and devoted wife of 68 years, Alice Nee Murphy. He's the beloved father of Robert III, Allison O'Mara, Matthew, Monica, Jeannie, Mary Carol, Meg, Dan, Martin, Rita, and Andy. Just the TV was broken at his house. He had 33 grandchildren, God bless him. Bob was an avid White Sox fan who rarely missed a chance to root for his favorite baseball team. He's a 1947 graduate of Leo High School, and he enjoyed a 37-year career with Illinois Bell. In his retirement, he enjoyed woodworking, genealogy, research, and annual trips to Ireland. Member of Knights of Columbus Council in Piatone, he was a loving and devoted husband, father, and grandfather. God rest his lovely soul, Robert John J. Stevens, Jr. Okay, Susan McCarthy, loving daughter of the late Michael and Margaret Mary McCarthy, cherished sister of Michael, June, and James. Too young to go. Her picture was in the obituary. Just a gorgeous young lady. And her wake and funeral were handled by Sheehy's, where other eight people go. Paul Broderick, 91, a native of County Galway, Ireland, beloved husband of Bridget Bridie Nee Riley, loving father of Patrick, John, and the late Michael, cherished grandfather of P. Michael, Mary, Caitlin, and Grace, dear sister of Nora Broderick of England. What a guy. Patrick J. Broderick, God rest his soul, 91. John Sean T. McGowan, age 90, a native of Leitrim, Tubbercurry, County Sligo, Ireland. Proud United States Army veteran, beloved husband of Mary Bernadette, loving father of Colleen, Mary, and John. He was the devoted son of the late Dennis and Nora McGowan, adored brother of Seamus of Dublin, Ireland, and the late Patrick, Dennis, and Michael. Fond Uncle Sean to many nieces and nephews, and dear friend and neighbor to many. Proud union member of Bricklayers Local 21 and International Union of Firemen and Operating Engineers Local 143. Also an enthusiastic volunteer at Chicago Gaelic Park. Sean McGowan, God rest his soul. I think that is the end. Thanks to PGOD for being our Obit Scout and getting us all that information. And we're going to take a little break now. We'll be back. Maybe some Hooley Town. We're going to talk to Charlotte Houlihan about the party. And so stick around. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts, with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated.
Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
And we're back here on Hibernian Radio. Beautiful night here at Cork and Kerry out on the back porch here. It's just lovely. And we are very honored tonight to have our old pal, my granddaughter, Charlotte Houlihan, with me. Hello, Charlotte.
Hey.
Good to see you again. Are you excited? We're having something's going on next week. What's happening next week?
Yeah, there's a party on Wednesday, June 9th at 7 p.m.
Okay. You going to be here for that?
Of course.
All right. We're going to hand out the raffle tickets, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can buy free. Well, you don't have to buy it.
It's free. Yeah.
Yeah, they're free Irish whiskey raffle tickets. So.
Compliments. The whiskey is compliments of our friends at Paddy's Old Irish Whiskey, a sponsor of the film festival.
And there's music from Liam Durkin and Jimmy Clunan and friends.
So. Yeah, and his brother Coleman. You know, the party is in honor of our film.
In Search of Weeping Jim.
Do you know what that's about?
Yeah.
What is it about?
Well, it's about
Weeping Jim.
Weeping Jim, obviously the father of the Chicago flag.
Very good. So what we're doing is we're claiming the Chicago flag for Irish America.
Uh-huh.
It's ours, right?
Of course.
Yeah. As champagne is to the French, the Chicago flag is to the Irish. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're going to take a trip to Hooleytown. Right?
Hooleytown.
Will you join me in Hooleytown?
Of course.
Okay, here we
go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Here. So deep, all the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please!
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mix what? On his teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome,
crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooleytown.
Hooleytown.
Welcome to Hooleytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooleytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, we're in Hooleytown, my favorite place. All right, we usually go out with a joke, and we got a joke tonight for Hooleytown. Two campers are hiking in the woods when one of them is bitten in the rear end, his butt. He's get bitten in the butt by a rattlesnake. I'll go into town for a doctor, the other one says. He runs 10 miles to a small town, and he finds the town's only doctor who is busy delivering a baby. I can't leave, the doctor said, but here's what to do. Take a knife, cut a little X where the bite is, suck out the poison, and spit it on the ground. The guy runs back 10 miles to his friend who's in agony. What did the doctor say? He says you're gonna die. Okay. What a great night tonight. Our thanks to John Kent and Sarah. He just came over and said, you bumped me for your granddaughter. No, I would never do that. Anyway, having a great time here tonight, and we'll see you next week at the party. Please come on out. We'd love to have you win the whiskey, win the raffle, listen to the music. Let's party, you know? Let's have some crack. So God bless you all, and we will see you later. Bye!
Well, I looked down the road, and I wondered. Yes, I wondered. Oh, Lord, I wondered. Well, I looked down. Up my shoes.